Dr. Josh Straub and Christy Straub are speakers, authors, and marriage and leadership coaches. Together, they lead Famous at Home, an organization devoted to equipping leaders, organizations, military families, and churches in emotional intelligence and family wellness. I'm so excited to have you guys here.
Oh, we're honored. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome
this
to Takeaways.
This is so fun.
So what a great topic for a book and for classes and workshops, Famous at Home. I think that's, I need to be more famous at home.
And don't we all?
We all do. Yeah. We need to be more famous at home. Like that is such an important thing because, you know, I did this movie years ago called Fireproof. Yep. And it's a movie about marriage. Mm-hmm. And one of the lines in there, as this firefighter was watching his marriage go up in flames is, you know, he says to his buddy, I'm a hero. Everywhere I go, a house can be burning down. I run in there and I save the day. Mm-hmm. I'm a hero everywhere except in my own house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't do anything right.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing this. And I can't wait to dive into your story.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you for having us. Yeah, it's one of the greatest questions we get. Like, I'll never forget the day I got a phone call from very, very, you know, successful businessman. And he said to me, he said, I can go to work and I can lead hundreds of people. And I come home and I have no idea how to even lead my own family, four kids. And that was a moment for me where things started to shift in terms of this whole idea of being famous at home, that, you know, we're called out into the world. And our identity, our purpose, everything, the world is pushing us to be famous on a stage. And now with the, you know, social media, Instagram followers, likes, but yet we go home and don't realize that our kids are running to us. We're already famous at home. We already have the biggest fans under our roof, but yet we're trying to get all the attention of these other fans, clients, board members, whatever. And our fans are crying for our attention under our roof. And the whole idea is when you get the home thing right, everything else falls into place. And I think that's what we miss.
So tell me a little bit about your story. How did you meet?
So we met in grad school. So we were both counselors by trade.
Okay.
Met one night working late. We were grad students, assisting professors. And I'd heard about him because he spoke on like dating and relationships and all the girls.
And you raised your hand.
And I was like, I have no interest.
She like, actually didn't. She was like, check.
No.
Okay, I don't want that.
No.
It wasn't love at first sight. But then he
But it was like the first conversation where it was like, it was just like you click. Just this understanding. And we had this mutual, I don't know if it was just this deep calling of God toward marriage and family. Mm-hmm. And I think we came from very different backgrounds. My family, my parents have been married, you know, almost 50 years. His parents went through a lot of divorces, but I think it both led us to this place of like marriage and family really are the pinnacle of society. Like there goes a family, there goes society. And it's where these like children are formed or broken. And obviously we're all going to be broken in some way. And yet as parents, as spouses, like we are the ones that are really forming this bedrock of the community, of community, of family, of politics, of society. And so it was just this, it was such a sweet marrying together of callings. And then this has all just sort of been the fruit, I suppose.
It's so encouraging for me. I'm 53 years old and I have a baby who's having a baby. And to see you, this young couple, understand these things are so important. And just understanding them in my head doesn't mean I'm doing them at home.
Right.
And you're devoting your time to helping people not only understand this, that as goes the family, there goes the nation or the society, but helping them to put practical things into motion.
Yeah.
So when did you first, or what was it that first woke you up to the idea that we need to be famous at home?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. I think for us, we were doing this, we were counselors by trade, and I'll never forget the day. So I'm a little bit older. I was 30 by the time we got married and we felt like we were pretty well set. And I'll never forget the day because we had full-time jobs, you know, we weren't struggling financially or anything like that. But I remember after having our firstborn, and I remember coming in one day and I came into the kitchen and I had been out working. So Christy describes this, you say it better, but
well, like I'm in sweatpants, you know, a big baggy t-shirt, you know, hair in a ponytail, spackled in pureed banana and sweet potato. So I was teaching our son to eat solid foods. And he comes in and he's just wafting the smell of some latte that he'd had at some coffee shop he'd been working at. And he's talking about all these great projects he's got going on and people he talked to.
Way to read the room, bro.
Yeah. Right. And I, something in me just broke. Like it was, and what words came out were, why do you never ask me about what's on my heart? And I just, it was like, I'm just throwing arrows at him because I didn't realize how lost I was. Like I didn't realize how hidden I felt, how lost I was, how much I was struggling. And I think we realized in walking through that together where there was such a disconnect because he's being pulled out. Whatever your stage is, like if you're a teacher, if you work at a bank, I mean, it's all the accolades and all the like gold stars come from society, come from all the great things, projects, whatever you're working on out there. And yet there's so little positive reinforcement or affirmation for the hidden work that you do at home.
Yeah.
And I was stuck in those, what I called the trenches. It was like those hidden years. And we realized this is something that working through together, it was like rubbing.
I knew I had to prioritize her heart in order for our anything that we wanted to do for the kingdom, for ministry, for families to thrive. We had to live our message.
But it's a challenge to know exactly what that looks like, right?
Yeah.
Josh, you're saying, babe, I gotta go outside and work. I've got to provide. Right. We gotta put food on the table for these kids. And look, we signed up for this when we decided to have kids.
Yeah.
And so the sweet potato puree spackling is just part of the uniform when you're a parent.
Yeah.
And so how do you deal with the apparent conflict between family goals and being famous at work?
Yeah, great question. And so one of the, there's such a big question and there's so much to that that I'm learning and understanding. But I think the family has to become a team. The family, we live in an individualistic culture and we're individualizing every single individual in the home. And that team starts with my wife. That team starts with that marriage. And so what was wild about that time is that I ended up leaving the very next week to go to a leadership retreat. And because what do? You leave your wife alone with the baby for a week and go to a leadership retreat. But she blessed me in that. But I came home and the biggest thing that I said is I said, Christy, I learned that to be a great leader, it has to start at home. And I implemented this thing. So great leaders, what we learned is that they don't just talk about content-based, they don't just engage in content-based conversation, because that's what we tend to do. We come home, we talk about the business of the day. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. Kids got to go to this,
Did you read this article, what's going on here politically.
Yeah, and we're living there. But great leaders actually can engage process-based conversation. So in other words, how did I feel about what happened to me? And so I came home and I said, Christy, can we try something? I'm sorry that I wasn't engaging your heart. Can we try something? And we implemented what we call 15 minutes a day, where basically what we do is we just sit with one another and we will describe what was one positive emotion that we felt that day. What was something that happened to us that made us feel content, happy, joyful, and describe that feeling to our spouse. And then what was one uncomfortable emotion we felt that day? And what it does is it gets... You know, the Bible says, guard your heart, it is the wellspring of life. When we get married, we become one flesh. We have one marital heart to guard. And that means if I'm going to guard her heart, I've got to know what's going on in her heart. Mm-hmm.
And live in an understanding way with your wife.
That's
so that you can learn how to better
care
for her.
And not fix the uncomfortable emotion, but just sit with her in it.
Wait. I'm not supposed to fix my wife?
Fix it.
Josh, and we're going to get more into some of these practical steps. I think you've got seven of them here in your book, Famous at Home, that we can do to become more famous at home. But how is being famous at home tied to identity, our identity, who we are, and our purpose? Yeah. You explain that in the book. Can you just give us a quick summary?
I think what's so difficult with that is like, that's what I lost, was my identity. Because I had felt like, again, the world applauds everything you're doing outside. But when you're called to motherhood, when you're called to be a wife, it feels like that's it. Like that's, so I felt like I lost who I was and it became what we call the chase. It's the chase is really whatever we are feeling like we're lacking. Usually it's coming from some sort of wounding place, but you're chasing that affirmation elsewhere. And what really became just a long healing journey for me to realize my identity actually was at home. My identity was as a mom. My identity was as a wife. It was as obviously a daughter of God first. But that's what grounded me into knowing that this hidden work was so holy. And it's hard. But that's where the holiness, I think, lies.
And I think even that identity, the world tells you your identity is outside.
Yeah.
Throughout cultures, throughout history, your identity was as the from the family you came from. Like if you were to introduce yourself, I am Josh, son of David, son of Ken, son of, and going back through.
Yeah.
And post-industrial revolution America was the first time that we really started putting our identity in what we did rather than where we came from. And I think if we got back to this whole idea of it, the safest place, and not everybody has this, but if we can build this, the household of God and households are the safest place for people to thrive and grow in. And so my identity is first as a son of God, but secondly, when I became a father, I see my identity as everything I do from the lens of a father. And so whether it's providing or whatever that looks like, I'm shepherding the hearts of those that are around me, whether that's my employees, whether that's my kids, whether that's my wife. And there's that, it just changes how we enter the world around us.
And I think every spirit-filled believer who is, there's something that what you're saying right now is just resonating within the heart of every mom, every dad who loves God. And they say, yes, that's what I want to do.
Right.
So I want to go get your book and I want to go through this. I know that people are listening to this and they're just shouting, yes, amen. I want to do this. And some are thinking, wow, I wish I had heard about some of this stuff and had someone walk me through this earlier when my children were younger. And then others, my wife and I have just experienced the empty nest thing where we had 6 kids, 25 chickens in the backyard, some mice, goldfish, a frog, and
that's right.
And then all of a sudden, just it's quiet because our kids have moved out of the house.
Yeah.
But I know that you say the principle still applies.
Yeah.
Even when the kids are gone, you've got to be famous at home with your spouse.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the vision just starts to shift and actually expand. Because now you're introducing grandchildren. Like it truly becomes this multi-generational view. Family isn't just the nuclear family. We're actually building for the kingdom in a bigger way. It's multiplying. And so now you're like the patriarch of a generational lineage. And what does that look like? Like how do we, and I think that's what you're asking too, like how do we practically do this? And I think that's the answer people want. And yet it's so daily. Like we talk about how when we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, we're asking him daily what our instructions are for this day. And it's so unique for each child, for whether you homeschool, you send your kids to school, whether you're empty nesters, obviously those nuanced dynamics change. But I think the essentials are it's connecting with the hearts of your spouse and your children. We talk about doing 20 minutes of command free time a day with kids and the importance of sitting on the floor with your children and just entering into their world. Or if it's big kids, entering into whatever their work world, their social world, that we're engaging with them in the things that bring their hearts to life, because it begins to really create this emotional safety within the home that we know the hearts of our family.
The cool part is it's never too late to start.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, I need to learn how to be more famous at home. And by that, as you said, I'm not looking to walk in the door and have confetti go off and kids saying, oh, daddy, you know, we saw you on TV today. It's, wait a minute, instead of trying to impress all these people out there, what if I considered my greatest achievement and value in being able to better understand the hearts of my wife and my children and care for them? These are the people that matter most in my life, not everybody out there.
And you realize like this is the one role no one else can fill. You can't substitute you.
This is the one role nobody else can fill. And that goes for all of us. So you're in your book, you share 7 decisions that it takes to really put your family center stage. Can you share some of those with us?
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to one that Christy mentioned previously on 20 minutes of command free time a day. So one of the things that we talk about is the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door. You're already famous at home. Your kids are vying for your attention. As soon, like you said, as soon as you get through the door, but they're not asking, hey, daddy, I saw you on TV. They might be. They're going to be championing you if you're on TV, if you've already entered into their world first. And that's what they're just saying. You know, our son, our 3-year-old son just came down last week with downstairs. You know, his light has to turn green first before he's allowed to come downstairs. But he comes on downstairs and I'm in my bedroom and he's clunking this box of Legos. And he looks at me, 3 years old, and he says, "Daddy, play Legos with me?" And that's what our kids are. He doesn't want to play Legos with anybody else in the world except me and maybe his mom. Mm. But our ability to be able to see that and enter into their world, and whether your kids are 3, 13, or 23, to do this idea of 20 minutes of command-free time where we enter into their world. Command-free means we're not dictating the play. We're not, you know, we're entering into the, if they want to play Polly Pockets, you do Polly Pockets. If they want to play Legos, you play Legos. They want to shoot hoops, you shoot hoops. You enter into their world and it opens up the door to then be able to have influence in their world when they have hard questions, when they have things that they want to bring to you. But we've got to be entering into that before, you know, otherwise they won't care if we're on TV. They won't care what we're doing until we first see their hearts and they feel seen by the one person they care about most.
Wow. Wow. This is so good. All right. What's something else that we need to do to really be famous at home?
I think one of the things we talk about is Sabbath. And I know that might sound like, I think as Christians, like we sort of understand the concept, but I don't think, certainly for us, we didn't actually live the concept. And so we started to kind of follow the Jewish way that we have a family Shabbat on Friday nights. We have this big meal. We invite other families. We invite our families if they're nearby. And we have this big celebration of what God did, which was he won the victory for us so we can rest. Like we actually live from rest. We can live from rest. And then Saturday is our Sabbath. Because at least for us, we're involved, you know, with church. Sunday wasn't really a restful day. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
And so for us, it was this marker of using Saturdays as our true rest. And it became, I think, the foundation on which our family rhythms began, setting family rhythms that are daily rhythms. And it started from this rhythm of rest. And it means even if we're traveling or Josh is traveling, that we like defend the rhythm. And that on Fridays, we have our big meal that the kids so look forward to. We have the best dessert, the biggest meal. And then Saturdays, it's actually very planned out.
It's their favorite.
It's our favorite day. Because we truly rest. And that doesn't mean just like laying on the couch. That might mean going to coffee with your daughter. It might mean going to the jumpy house.
And it's not like Lent, where like, okay, we're not having any food all day.
Oh, no.
This is where you actually splurge. This is like feasting. It's feasting, you know? Yeah. And God is all about joy.
And I'm not trying to like slam Lent.
Totally.
For all the Catholics who are watching. Yeah. I'm just saying, when you say rest, it's not like, okay, no electricity, no anything on that day.
This is
the day of
Adam and Eve's very first thing they did was to rest. They were created on day 6. Day 7 was a day of rest. You look at Genesis chapter 1 and the rhythms that God created for us were to live from rest, not for it. And we just race and we race. Even the Hebrew calendar starts in the evening rather than in the morning. You go through Genesis chapter 1, day 1, there was evening and then morning. And the whole idea is that we start with rest and live from rest.
Yeah.
The greatest thing, and that's the whole point, is creating healthy rhythms in our homes. And we have just found that Sabbath is the easiest, lowest hanging fruit to start with.
So we have, of these 7, you're talking about rhythms and having a Sabbath and operating from a place of rest, not working so that I can rest.
Yeah.
And then this idea of 20 minutes of command-free time where you enter into your kids' world and not dictate, tell them what to do.
Right.
Hey, did you get your chores done? But just say, hey, where are you going? I'm going with you.
Yeah.
If someone has not put their family center stage, how do they get started?
That's a great question. Yeah.
I think what I would say is, and because what I'm hearing in you too, is like, there's so many outs, external yeses. Like we say yes to things all the time because we feel like we should or it'll get us ahead. I think it starts with starting to put boundaries around your family so that there are no's. There are hard no's. Like, I mean, and some of these get controversial because it's like we've said no to sports on Saturdays because we rest. And I don't, you know, and I want to even go back to that rest piece, but because I think that's where the no's come in. The no's have to guard. So there is rest. So it's like when you said that, you said that my kids were with me. My wife was with me. There has to be time to be with. And I mean, we've done surveys of parents, like in our generation, and time is the number one opponent that's coming in on families.
We're too busy or overstressed.
Yeah.
Not enough time and too busy is the number one parenting struggle that we have seen in our audience.
Yeah. And we're just pulled in so many directions because it all sounds good. And I guess what I would say is if we could say no to some things, what's best? Like, what could we replace with something that's best? And you realize the kids, what they really want is time. And I think what we all really desire is time, time to calm down and to come back together.
And I would say this too. There was a research study by a palliative care nurse in Australia who looked at top regrets of people on their deathbed. And the number one regret was, I wish I would have lived the life that I wanted rather than what others expected of me. And we're living in such a culture with social media, travel, sports, all these things where it's like, we're being pulled in what everybody else wants for us, that our family's getting the leftovers. And I think just even simply asking the question, we lay in bed at night and the thing we're worrying about is, I'm not spending enough time with my kids. You know, my marriage isn't doing great. And I think just saying, making that first yes, go, I'm going to say no to the noise that's out here. Maybe something that's not given us margin as a family. And I'm going to say, my first yes is going to be, I want to have a date night with my wife or my husband. I want to say yes to my kids tomorrow. Just ask yourself, what is that first yes for you that you know will begin? Because it doesn't take a big, it's 1 degree shift over time.
That's right.
Is going to get
you.
That's
right. And that can inspire the next degree shift.
That's right.
Which can propel the next, and then
pretty far
off, you know, eventually you're 180 degrees going in the opposite direction and repentance is like happening.
That's exactly right. And it happened, once Jesus is a part of that process, man, it can happen so much faster too. Yeah.
Josh, can you tell us about maybe one or two of the families that you guys have coached where a success story would inspire the people listening to us right now?
Yeah, no, it's so good. So I tell you, one of the specific, and I want to tie it into what Christy just said, because I think it's important that we all understand this, is that I'll give you one example. So husband, wife, he's very well-known in his field, very active. And he was the guy who said, I can go to work and lead hundreds of people. And I come home and I don't know how to lead my own family. And very disconnected from his wife, you know, on the verge of divorce. And I remember having a conversation with him where we were talking about being famous at home. And he said, you know, I'm getting all these accolades everywhere else, but I go home and I don't feel famous. But that was because there were years of buildup where he had been neglecting, he had been giving leftovers. And so of course, by this point, he's not feeling famous. And I think we go back to identity. We realize that we can be famous at home and we can slow down and we can rest because we already are famous at home. As sons and daughters of God, we love because he first loved us, 1 John 4. And when it took a while to get through doing some of these things, but in that process, he was open to faith. He was open. He was a believer. And he's processing all this. And we're praying. And I said, pray every day for your family. Pray every day for your family. But pray from the vantage point that you are a son of God and that God's gifted you with these humans, and that God has also gifted you with rest. And what he began to understand along the way is the love of God for him and the love of the Father for him. We are already famous at home because we have a Heavenly Father who just wants to be with us. And that's why this Sabbath is a gift. And we saw this family literally today. You wouldn't recognize them from where they were 4 years ago to where they are today. Mm. And it's not because of what we did as much as what it was that Jesus did, because he felt the love of God for him for the first time. And I think that's what as we really pursue the Heavenly Father's love for us, that's what gives me the ability to be able to love my wife and love my children, even when I have to put food on the table and I'm feeling stretched out here. I know I have a God who already loves me, and we can rest in that it is already finished. So I can go rest and I can do puzzles with my wife and I can put that away because of this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the life, that's the change.
Well, this is just scratching the surface of everything that's in your book. Being famous at home in the best kingdom sense of putting your family center stage. Well, thank you guys. Thank you for sharing all this. Appreciate you and God bless you.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Thanks for listening to this episode of Takeaways. If you love the conversations that we're having, please follow or subscribe to this podcast to never miss any of this great content. And please consider leaving a positive rating and a review to help others like you discover this show.